Question everything.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to Question Everything with your girl, Kelsey. I hope you guys are doing well. I apologize for not posting an episode last week, but I really could not stand the audio on my old mic. Speaking of which, you guys notice anything different? I finally got a new mic, so hopefully the audio sounds way better than it did a couple weeks ago. All right, so I know I haven't done a solo episode in a while, and part of that reason was because my audio with my podcast mic was horrible. And also, I have a lot of guests lined up, so I do have a guest for this Friday's episode, but I did want to include a solo episode this week because I haven't talked to you guys in a while, so this is going to be considered, I guess, a bonus episode. Haven't done one of those either in a while, so wow, full of surprises today. But yeah, I hope you guys are doing well. It's been a while since I've been able to sit down and just talk one-on-one with you guys. I've been getting DMs that you guys missed the solo episode, so hopefully you guys enjoy this one. So what is today's topic, Kelsey? What are we going to talk about? Well, the tension has been high in the collective due to everything going on, obviously. When has it not? And even within the truth / spiritual community, it has had its fair share of getting heated. And along with Mercury, I can never say that right. Mercury being in retrograde, it's a fun ride. And Mercury, I'm not even gonna try. Mercury, I'm so sorry. Mercury will get out of retrograde on February 21st, I believe. So be careful with your electronics, miscommunications, Wi-Fi, travel safely. I know a lot of people portray this time as a negative event that happens every so often. I think it happens like 3 times a year, to be honest. But just try to focus on the positives. One of those positives is that this is a great time to reflect on the past. So reflect on your growth or reflect on things that you have accomplished or want to improve on. So just twist it. Transmute the so-called negative energy to your own. But because the tension is high, even within the truth and spiritual community, I have been meaning to make a whole episode on the ego. And I think now is the perfect time to dive deep into it. I think I'm going to make this a series because there is so much to talk about. There are so many aspects and dimensions that coincide with the ego that I do want to cover. But before I begin, I do want to let you guys know that I was a guest on the Hold On, Wait a Minute podcast. And if you haven't heard it yet, it is on Spotify and Apple. The hosts, Shane and Ken, are two of the best dudes I've gotten a chance to meet. Super down to earth and hilarious. They post similar content to mine and have some amazing guests. So go give them some love. Oh, and I guess I will mention this other event that has been going on since I did talk about it on their podcast. So the whole stock market fiasco, like what the hell is going on with that? I think it's pretty entertaining, honestly. I think that there is something bigger going on in the background, just like everything else that is mainstream. There's always something else. I mean, there was some more Ghislaine Maxwell documents that were unsealed, but those documents still have some things that aren't fully disclosed, which is kind of weird. But other than that, I do believe that this whole stock market situation was a chance for the collective to wake up, realize the corrupt system, as if 2020 didn't do that for them. And I mean, some people say it's a step towards Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and a step further for the elite agenda, but I'm trying to see the positives here. Like, it got a lot of people together and trying to feed the positive energy going on. And although it may be a baby step into a greater awakening, it's a step nonetheless. I have been seeing people who used to argue about left or right come together to quote unquote, eat the rich. And like I said, I mean, regardless of the details of the situation, it's the fact that everyone's coming together, and that makes me happy. So it's one step. It's a small step, but it's progress. And I know this whole situation might have been planned, but there is always equal good and bad to every situation. The evolution of consciousness will not come from a peaceful state, which is something that I will make a part of this ego series, and I will further discuss. I do want to say that just like everyone else, I am still learning. I learn something new every single day, and I remain teachable. I tweeted this and also said it on Shane and Ken's podcast, but I said, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything at all, and that is so liberating. And by liberating, I mean acceptance, surrendering to the unknown, and not controlling the outcomes, because that is pure ego wanting to control a situation that just is. And I will definitely touch up on that later on. So I have read countless spiritual books and have heard from so many teachers, but by far, these two books that I just read, well, I'm almost done with the second one. They are the most potent, powerful books I have ever read. New Earth and the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Like, please, please go read them. They are worth every penny. They are an intense read, and not a lot of people will grasp it on the first go around. I had to take some notes and highlight and really sit with some of the information he spoke about. But I will be referring to his work today and quoting some of his stuff just for reference. And he really gave me a better understanding about the ego. Okay, so first and foremost, what is the ego? When you first think of the ego, you think it's what you call someone who is being arrogant or acting superior, but it's actually not just that. Every human being has an ego. It's our sense of self, or as I like to refer to it now, our false sense of self in this 3D form, 3D dimension. Another way he puts it is our form identity. We have a form identity and an essence identity, which is our true being. I have been painting the ego as such a horrible thing throughout my podcast, and I have come to find out that it's not about killing it or getting rid of it completely, but becoming aware of it and controlling it before it controls you. The ego isn't wrong. It is unconscious, and it is born through experience. It is molded through everything we go through. The ego is the false sense of I. So I am Kelsey. That's my ego, because I am not Kelsey. I am source consciousness, having a human experience through Kelsey and expressing myself through Kelsey. The ego thinks it's doing what's best for you because of said experiences that we've all been through. So not all of the time is it a bad thing, but if it starts controlling you, that's when it gets dangerous. The voice in your head, the thoughts that arise, the emotions, that's your ego. The emotional reactions, or any emotion, is your body's reaction to those thoughts. Love, joy, and peace are our natural instincts and come from within. They don't come from external factors. And they're not emotions. And when I read this, I was a little bit confused, but how he explained it made better sense. Anything that gives you joy, or what you think is love, that is external and pure egoic pleasure, which is only temporary. True love and joy come from within and don't need an external stimulant to feed it. That's why a lot of relationships don't work, because they depend on the pleasure of another person and call it love. And we need to start realizing that we are not our thoughts. We are the consciousness observing those thoughts. And it makes sense if you start to question it. If I can hear or observe my thoughts, then I must not be the thoughts themselves. So what exactly are we? We are the consciousness, yes, the being, the source, living the experience. But to fully understand this, you can't think about it. It cannot be understood through words or thoughts, but rather feeling it. If you meditate, you'll understand what I'm talking about. During meditation, you notice the energy in your fingers and the essence in your body. That is who you truly are. When you focus on your breath and silence your mind, you can feel the being that you are. In ancient religions and spirituality, you will find that underneath the many surface differences, there are two core insights that most of them agree on. The words used to describe those insights differ, yet they all point to a twofold fundamental truth. The first part is that the normal state of mind of most human beings contains a strong element of what some call madness or dysfunction. In Hinduism, it's called Maya, the veil of delusion. In Buddhism, it's called dukkha, which can be translated into suffering. In Christianity, it's called sin. And sin is a word that has been greatly misunderstood and misinterpreted. To sin means to miss the mark, as Eckhart Tolle describes it, missing the point, living blindly. Everything we see that is going on that some might call chaotic is simply the collective manifestation of the human unconsciousness. Fear, greed, and the desire for power are the psychological motivating forces not only behind warfare and violence between nations, tribes, religions, and ideologies, but also the cause of conflict in personal relationships. And those negative psychological forces are created by this dysfunction called the ego. I absolutely love this next quote. You do not become good by trying to be good, but by finding the goodness that is already within you and allowing that goodness to emerge. And this can only happen with a shift in consciousness. He also gives the analogy of a rainy day. When it's cloudy and raining, the sun doesn't go away. The sun is still there behind the clouds. Our true essence is still there behind our ego. The greatest achievement of humanity is not its works of art, science, or technology, but the recognition of its own dysfunction, which some may refer to as an awakening, enlightenment, or in religion, salvation. So, speaking of religion, I want to read off what he has to say about spirituality and religion. What is the role of the established religions in the arising of the new consciousness? Many people are already aware of the differences between spirituality and religion. They realize that having a belief system, a set of thoughts that you regard to as the absolute truth, does not make you spiritual, no matter what the nature of those beliefs is. In fact, the more you make your thoughts into your identity, the more you cut off from the spiritual dimension within yourself. Many religious people are stuck at that level. They equate the truth with thought, and as they are completely identified with thought, their mind, they claim to be in a sole possession of the truth, in an unconscious attempt to protect their identity. They don't realize the limitations of thought. Unless you believe, think, exactly as they do, you are wrong in their eyes. And in the not-too-distant past, they would have felt justified in killing you for that, and some still do, even now. The new spirituality, the transformation of consciousness, is arising to a large extent outside of the structures of the existing institutionalized religions. There were always pockets of spirituality, even in the mind-dominated religions. Although the institutionalized hierarchies felt threatened by them and often tried to suppress them, a large-scale opening of spirituality outside of the religious structures is an entirely new development. In the past, this would have been inconceivable, especially in the West, the most mind-dominated of all cultures, where the Christian church had a virtual franchise on spirituality. You couldn't just stand up and give a spiritual talk or publish a spiritual book unless you were sanctioned by the church, and if you were not, they would quickly silence you. But now, even within certain churches and religions, there are signs of change. It is heartwarming and one is grateful for even the slightest signs of openness, partly as a result of the spiritual teachings that have arisen outside of the established religions, but also due to the influx of ancient Eastern wisdom teachings. A growing number of followers of traditional religions are able to go of identification with form, dogma, and rigid belief systems and discover the original depth that is hidden within their own spiritual tradition, at the same time as they discover the depth within themselves. They've realized that how spiritual you are has nothing to do with what you believe, but everything to do with your state of consciousness. This, in turn, determines how you act in the world and interact with others. Those unable to look beyond form, beyond the physical, become even more deeply entrenched in their beliefs, that is to say, in their mind. We are witnessing not only an unprecedented influx of consciousness at this time, but also an entrenchment and intensification of the ego. Some religious institutions will be open to the new consciousness. Others will harden their doctrinal positions and become part of all those other man-made structures through which the collective ego will defend itself and fight back. Some churches, sects, cults, or religious movements are basically collective egoic entities as rigidly identified with their mental positions as the followers of any political ideology that is closed to any alternative interpretation of reality. And then this is a different section that I wanted to add just because it correlates with what is the truth, relative or absolute. Beyond the realm of simple and verifiable facts, the certainty that I am right and you are wrong is a dangerous thing in personal relationships, as well as in interactions between nations, tribes, religions, and so on. But if the belief, I am right, you are wrong, is one of the ways in which the ego strengthens itself, if making yourself right and others wrong is a mental dysfunction that perpetuates separation and conflict between human beings, does that mean there is no such thing as right or wrong behavior, action, or belief? And wouldn't that be the moral relativism that some contemporary Christian teachings see as the great evil of our times? The history of Christianity is, of course, a prime example of how the belief that you are in sole possession of the truth, that is to say, right, can corrupt your actions and behavior to the point of insanity. For centuries, torturing and burning people alive if their opinions diverged even in the slightest from church doctrine or narrow interpretations of scripture was considered right because the victims were wrong. They were so wrong that they needed to be killed. The truth was considered more important than a human life. And what was the truth? A story you had to believe in, which means a bundle of thoughts. The 1 million people that mad dictator Pol Pot of Cambodia ordered killed included everybody who wore glasses. Why? To him, the Marxist interpretation of history was the absolute truth, and according to his version of it, those who wore glasses belonged to the educated class, the exploiters of the peasants. They needed to be eliminated to make room for new social order. His truth also was a bundle of thoughts. There is only one absolute truth, and all other truths emanate from it. When you find that truth, your actions will be aligned with it. Human action can reflect the truth, or it can reflect illusion. Can the truth be put into words? Yes, but the words are, of course, not it. They only point to it. The truth is inseparable from who you are. Yes, you are the truth. If you look for it elsewhere, you will be deceived every time. The very being that you are is the truth. Jesus tried to convey that when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. These words uttered by Jesus are one of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth, only if understood correctly. If misinterpreted, however, they become a great obstacle. Jesus speaks of the innermost I am, the essence of identity of which every man and woman, every life form, in fact, he speaks of the life that you are. Some Christian mystics have called the Christ within. Buddhists call it the Buddha nature. For Hindus, it is Atman, the indwelling God. When you are in touch with that dimension within yourself and being in touch with it is your natural state, not some miraculous achievement, all your actions and relationships will reflect the oneness with all life that you sense deep within. This is love. Laws, commandments, rules, and regulations are necessary for those who are cut off from who they are, the truth within. They prevent the worst excess of the ego, and often they don't even do that. Love and do what you will, said Saint Augustine. Words cannot get much closer to the truth than that. So this book gets really intense with that stuff, and it's crazy. I absolutely loved it. Those are just two sections that I wanted to add in that related to the quote-unquote truth and all that good stuff. So I don't know if you guys remember, but in an episode I talked about how words are basically insignificant. They're just sounds. The reason they have meaning is because we gave them meaning, So when you don't cover up the world with words and labels, a sense of miraculous returns to your life that was lost a long time ago when humanity got possessed with thought. The more you are attached to things, labels, situations, groups, etc., the more shallow your reality becomes. That's not to say that labels and names shouldn't be used, because then we'd all be lost. But to not get attached means to not be imprisoned by them. That's why I said in the beginning that what we are can't ever be described as a label or in words. And he said that as well in the paragraph that I read. We might use words to describe it, such as soul, consciousness, being, love, or what have you. Because if we didn't, then there would be no way to describe it. But there is so much more depth to you than you realize. The illusory self of I is described as an optical illusion of consciousness. When a child learns how to talk, some children refer to themselves in third person, such as, Johnny is hungry. Soon after, they learn the word I. Then after, they learn me and mine and start identifying themselves with objects. When my toy breaks or is taken away, an intense suffering arises. Not because there is any value to that toy, but because the child has identified with a toy as his. Soon after, the toy becomes a gender, race, religion, ideology, profession, a car, a house, a family, and other things that I identifies with. Then through their experiences, they say, this is my story, and these are some of the things that people derive their sense of self from, which is also known as their egoic self. When those things become threatened, that is when the ego jumps out to defend the false sense of identity. That's where arguments start. That's where judgment and attacking other people begin. This can be for anything you identify with. That's why he says you cannot have an argument with a fully conscious person, because a fully conscious person recognizes that whatever they believe in is not equivalent to their sense of self, because they have not attached to that belief. I wouldn't consider myself fully conscious or fully enlightened, because that would be almost like a paradox. That would be my ego identifying with being enlightened. I'd say I'm on the path of being conscious, and if you're listening, there's a good chance that you are as well. So earlier when I said the more I know, the less I actually know, I meant the more you become awakened, the more you realize that you don't know anything at all, because the only absolute truth is your core being. The outside external world is an illusory experience being experienced through different perspectives, such as each human being. Everything is what it is. It's funny because I used to say that all the time back in high school and in college. We'd always joke around like, it is what it is. But if we really start applying that and accepting every situation as just that, a life situation, we will no longer have to judge it as good or bad. There was a story that he mentioned of this one man who won the lottery. His friends and families were like, heck yeah, dude, you're so lucky. And the man said, maybe. And then with that lottery money, he bought himself a new car. And again, his family and friends congratulated him and said, this is so awesome. Congrats. And he said, maybe. Then a couple weeks later, he ended up getting in a car wreck and ended up in the hospital. His family and friends were there. And they were like, this is so tragic. I'm so sorry. And again, he said, maybe. While he was in the hospital, he got news that his house was destroyed during a storm, and his friends and family said, oh, thank God you were in the hospital and not at home. And again, he said, maybe. So that man's maybes were him accepting everything as it is, not judging it or labeling it as good or bad, because he recognizes that there is a higher divine purpose for everything. Such as him being in the hospital saved him from him being at home and being killed in that storm. Everything happens for a reason. And if he were to label any of these situations as good or bad and fed his ego with those thoughts, he would have suffered a lot more throughout those tragedies. This might sound like this man has no emotion anymore or isn't being sane, but in reality, he's the most sane and at peace with everything going on. This won't make sense to anyone who is highly attached to their ego or their false identity, but that also isn't a bad thing. It's a journey and a process for a reason. There was this other story where this woman had lost her mother, and was also on a spiritual path. But as she watched her mother pass away, she was full of rage and anger. How could they have taken my mother? I don't understand. But later on, she realized that in some way, she was being arrogant and coming from her ego. She realizes that even though she might think she knows what's best, she doesn't know what the universe has in plan or what the bigger divine purpose was. Her mother's soul had finished her contract in this life and evolved. And she said, at that point, I couldn't be mad. I was being selfish because I had attached myself to her. She still felt her emotions and she still faced the sadness, but it wasn't coming from a sense of anger or fear. She was coming from a place of peace, knowing that there's a higher order in place. So it's not about denying how you feel or spiritual bypassing everything, because I know some people who claim that spirituality is dark and that New Age practices are dark tend to say that we bypass everything and suppress our emotions. And although some people do end up doing that and do end up inflating their ego and create a spiritual ego, that's not at all what I'm trying to talk about or what Eckhart Tolle is trying to talk about or the practice he is showing us. It's more so showing us that we don't need to make ourselves suffer. Suffering is created by our egos. We must feel our emotions if they arise. We must face them head on, but we shouldn't feed them with more negative thoughts, such as how that woman did in the beginning and got angry. We as humans tend to make our own suffering in our minds. If we came to a place of acceptance of the situation, while also accepting our emotions, we will strengthen our core being while quieting the ego. I noticed I was doing this to myself, just reflecting on past experiences whenever I was hurt. I would constantly just make myself suffer by my ego feeding me, I'm not good enough, I deserve this pain, no one loves me. Instead of me actually allowing myself to feel my emotions, I would just feed it and make the pain last exponentially longer than it needed to. Eckhart and other psychologist researchers have found that all emotional pain lasts for at least 12 minutes. Anything longer than that is self-inflicted. So once we take our power back from our egos, we will no longer need to make ourselves suffer. We would all take accountability and not point fingers, because no one is responsible for our suffering than our egos. Not even ourselves, because we are not our egos. So emotion derives from our body's reaction to a thought. So that being said, when someone is triggered from something they had gone through in the past, their body tends to react from the thought that came back from said trauma. This is also known as our pain bodies, as Eckhart likes to describe it, or as I like to call it, our shadow. Our pain bodies come from our experiences and even our parents' own pain bodies passed down. And I will relate this to Eckhart's own story. Eckhart Tolle's pain body had been weighing him down for almost all 30 years of his life until a night in 1977. For almost 30 years, ever since he could remember, he was burdened with this sinister baggage of negative energy. But on that night, when Eckhart Tolle's pain body had brought him to the brink of despair, he suddenly had an epiphany. I couldn't live with myself any longer, and in this, a question arose without an answer. Who is the I that I cannot live with myself? What is the self? I felt drawn into a void. I didn't know at the time that what really happened was the mind-made self, with its heaviness, its problems, that lives between the unsatisfying past and the fearful future, collapsed. It dissolved. The next morning, I woke up and everything was so peaceful. The peace was there because there was no self, just a sense of presence or beingness, just observing and watching. The pain body feeds like a parasite. According to Eckhart Tolle, pain body is literally our body of pain, a cumulative entity of all our previous psychological and emotional trauma from our infancy to our present. The pain body does not know spatial or temporal limitations. It simply follows us since the moment we are born and awaits its opportunity to strike from the shadows of our subconscious. As an example, you had an extremely tiresome day at work and everything seems to be going wrong. You come home and maybe someone is waiting for you, a friend, a lover. They immediately start asking what's wrong, and it just pushes and pushes you. Something dark mounts in the pit of your stomach and you feel appalled at yourself and your life. Everything is so wrong. Nobody wants this person asking questions, reminding you of your failures and weaknesses. You just want to disappear and suddenly the thing in your stomach has hijacked your brain. Your limbs are not your own, nor is your voice or your mouth or the words coming out of it. You begin to spew ugly things, painful things. It's you speaking, but it's something else being heard. Eckhart Tolle says this is what the pain body does. Your body of pain lurking in the corners of your mind is a mass of all our fears, insecurities, and negative thoughts that we lock away. It's the negative voices that have told us bad things about ourselves, which we ended up internalizing and mimicking when cornered. It is our own self-destructive patterns or behaviors. Eckhart Tolle describes the pain body as such. The pain body wants to survive just like every other entity in existence, and it can only survive if it gets you to unconsciously identify with it. It can then rise up, take you over, become you, and live through you. The pain body needs to get its food through you. It will feed on any experience that resonates with its own kind of energy. Anything that creates further pain in whatever form, anger, destructiveness, hatred, grief, emotional drama, violence, and even illness. So the pain body, when it has taken you over, will create a situation in your life that reflects back its own energy frequency for it to feed on. Pain can only feed on pain. Pain cannot feed on joy. It finds it quiet and digestible. The pain body is our anxiety, our depression, our lack of self-confidence. As much as pain is a natural part of the human condition, we must find ways to process it. Making amends with our pain is a crucial step in avoiding the pain body taking control. It's another dimension of the ego. So how do we dissolve the pain body? The pain body, according to Eckhart Tolle, exists in two modes, dormant and active. A pain body can remain dormant for the majority of the time, erupting only in rare situations for some people. For others, it might follow them almost all the time, constantly whispering negativity in their subconscious. It is vital, Eckhart Tolle says, for the pain body to dissolve. The way to do that is by comprehending the relation between the pain and the ego and how that contributes to the creation of the pain body. The pain body, which is the dark shadow of the ego, is actually afraid of the light of your consciousness. Its survival depends on your unconsciousness identifying with it, as well as your unconscious fear of facing the pain that lives in you. But if you don't face it, if you don't bring the light of your consciousness into the pain, you will be forced to relive it again and again. The pain body may seem to you like a dangerous monster that you cannot bear to look at, but I assure you that it is an insubstantial phantom that cannot prevail against the power of your presence. So the pain body doesn't want you to observe it directly and see it for what it is. This is why I refer to it as a shadow, because like I said, shadow work is facing your shadow and transmuting it into light. So he is just putting it in fancier words, but this is basically what I've been talking about, shadow work. Other philosophers have also underlined the importance of transcending the ego in order to reach spiritual enlightenment. The key to overcoming the pain body for Eckhart Tolle is to disconnect from the eye of the ego. The moment you observe it, feel its energy field within you and take your attention into it, the identification breaks. A higher dimension of consciousness has come in, and I call it presence. You are now the witness or the watcher of the pain body. This means that it cannot use you anymore by pretending to be you, and it can no longer replenish itself through you. You have found your own innermost strength. You have accessed the power of now. So sometimes the pain body comes out when you react to something in a harsh way, and then later on you say, oh, I don't know what came over me, that wasn't me. So when things like that happen and you don't feel in control of your reactions, that is when your pain body has made itself present. And I know we've all been there, because I certainly have. By becoming aware that there is no I in the pain body, that this is something else, some external energy field, one liberates themselves from the pain body's control. Therefore, our monsters release us. There are also collective pain bodies. Any negative emotion that is not fully faced and seen for what it is in the moment it arises does not completely dissolve. It leaves behind a permanent pain. The collective racial pain body is pronounced in the Jewish people who have suffered persecution over many centuries. Not surprisingly, it is as strong as well as the Native Americans, whose numbers were decimated and whose culture was all but destroyed by the European settlers. In fact, the suffering inflicted on Native and Black Americans has not remained confined to those two races, but has become a part of the collective American pain body. It doesn't really matter what proportion of your pain body belongs to your nation or race, or what proportion is personal. In either case, you can only go beyond it by taking responsibility for your inner state now. Even if blame seems to be more than justified, as long as you blame others, you keep feeding the pain body with your thoughts and remain trapped in the ego. There is one perpetrator of evil on this planet. It's the unconsciousness. That realization is true forgiveness. With forgiveness, your victim identity dissolves and your true power emerges, the power of presence. Instead of blaming the darkness, you transmute it to light. Some people have criticized him for saying these things because they make it seem like he is not acknowledging the pain and bypassing all the horrible things that these groups have gone through. However, others say that he is going beyond that and trying to stop the suffering from continuing on. And by taking accountability for your own pain body and your own ego, nothing anyone does or says will offend you, and you will have no one to blame. Others might say, well, what about the innocent killings or murderings? Murderings? Is that a word? Murders? That is also a fair statement. However, like the story I mentioned earlier about that woman losing her mother, there's always a higher divine purpose for everything. And like I said in previous episodes, death is an illusion. I know that doesn't take away the pain, but it allows the pain body to lose its power. We are not some unemotional robots, and that's not at all what he is teaching. He is saying to face your emotional reactions head on rather than storing them, and come to peace by acceptance of a higher order. By taking accountability and becoming responsible for your own healing of your own pain body and your own reactions, you will stop giving your power away to others, and you will heighten that power of being. He also emphasizes that when you accept what is and not judge it as good or bad, you can then make clearer and more rational decisions on how to help the situation and make a change without having been clouded by the ego because you didn't attach yourself to good or bad. But you can still recognize, you can still discern what is bad behavior versus what is good behavior. He also says that in many cases, you may need to protect yourself or someone else from harm, but beware of making it your mission to eradicate evil, as you are likely to become the thing you are fighting. It's kind of like that quote that says, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Breaking free from this is simply coming back to your breath, to the present moment. Ask yourself, what problem do you have right now? Not next year, not next week, not tomorrow, or in 5 minutes. What is wrong in this very moment? You can always cope with the now, but you can't ever cope with the future. The strength and resources will be there when you need them in the future, now, moment. But if you put all your energy into the future that hasn't happened yet, you are disconnected and unconscious of the present moment. So step into your now, focus on your breath, feel into your body, and it will strengthen your core being and diminish your ego. The thinking mind cannot understand presence, so it will misinterpret it. It will say you are uncaring, distant, uncompassionate. The truth is, if something is happening but you are not reacting emotionally to it, you are relating but on a much deeper level than thought and emotion. And like he says, on that level, there is a true coming together, a true joining that goes farther than relating. In that stillness of presence, you can sense the formless essence in yourself and in others as one, knowing that oneness of others is true compassion, true care, and true love. Okay, one last quote before I head into questions, because this is a bonus episode, but I will be making the ego a whole series. Only if you resist what happens, you are at mercy of what happens, and the world will determine your happiness. Let that sink in. We'll just let it simmer, marinate for a couple days. But it's true. Everything that happens externally is out of our control. And if we resist or try to control it, then we are only making ourselves suffer. But like I said, I'm going to make this a whole series, so there is a lot more to come and a lot more I want to cover or go more in depth with. This is kind of like the intro to pain body and ego and reaction. If you have any particular questions about anything, you know where to go at Woke with Kels, link in bio. Okay, so I haven't done questions of the week in a while. I know I did some with Nikki, but those were more towards both of us rather than the ones that you guys have sent me individually. So I'm excited to read these because, like I said, it's been a while. All right, let's get into it. First one. So this isn't really a question, but I felt I needed to share. I live and work outside of DC. I'm a hairstylist, so my clientele ranges with a lot of government workers and family members of some very influential people. So you got the tea, sis. I'm always just listening to people talk, and my skeptic mind is always picking up on things and questioning. I tend to form a lot of my own theories off the shit I hear, but anyways, I started seeing this guy who is an FBI criminal investigator, and well, I'm no longer seeing him because something just wasn't right. I'm a super skeptic with a lot, but first, this man had a fallen angel tattoo in his entire back, which raised a huge suspicion within me, especially because it was around the time you were talking about them on your podcast. At first, I was like, whoa, that's a weird coincidence, right? But this man also claims he knows nothing about conspiracy theories. Of course. Super sus, right? So one night he was picking my brain, I know, poor choice of words, but he wanted to know more about conspiracies because he knew I was into it. So I brought up stuff on Hillary Clinton and how it's said that the FBI investigators on her case have either committed suicide or are dead after seeing what was on her laptop. This man gave me the strangest look and says, well, that's not true because I know all of them and they were very much still alive and he would call them right then to prove me wrong. I didn't know how to respond, so I just laughed. But after that night, I never talked to him again. Oh, yes, girl, you know how it is. Yes. I just wanted to share this because you have taught me so much about questioning things and just kind of seeing things differently and not just accepting what people want you to think. Something about this man just seemed very uneasy to me and I wanted to share and just wanted to see what your thoughts were on this. And P.S. I love and live for your podcast, girl. Keep doing you. Wow. That was an incredible story. Thank you for sharing, and I love that you wanted to get my opinion on it. I also love that you were questioning everything and just following your intuition, because that really is what that was. Your intuition was telling you that this man is no bueno. So, first of all, the whole Hillary Clinton thing, I have seen videos of people talk about how these FBI agents committed suicide or got really sick after seeing what was on the laptop. So I don't know if he just isn't aware of that or I don't know, but like there definitely was something sketchy going on with her laptop and it's not just coming from QAnon or any website. I believe it was a hearing. I saw the video last year, but it was an official government hearing, and the woman said that a lot of officers got sick from seeing what was on her laptop, and I even remember saying that the 12 officers committed suicide, quote unquote. So I don't know, but good thing that you trusted your intuition and got out of that real quick. I appreciate the insight, and if you have any other tea, since you live near there and hear other things, let me know. But thank you so much for the support. Next one. I've been meaning to ask you this for the longest time. Do you really think the elite pedos get arrested? I've had so many people say I can't wait until they go to jail and die. I'm just sitting here and they're literally the elite. They run the world. What makes you think they're going to rot in a prison cell? They will just go into hiding. I feel like Epstein isn't dead. He's on the island still doing every and anything he wants along with Harvey Weinstein. I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking too deep into it, but I genuinely don't believe they get arrested ever. They just get quiet. Okay, rant over. I love your podcast and please continue to be amazing. Love you. Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much. And honestly, I don't know how it works because I've been hearing that how last year when all those CEOs stepped down, that was not them actually wanting to step down. They were asked to. So they were basically told, if you don't step down, you're going to be arrested. So I think that's how it's happening. I don't know if they're actually being arrested or how that works, because we're still seeing Hillary Clinton on TV and Bill Gates and all those other pedos, quote unquote. But some other people think that they have been executed, like completely killed off, and the people we see now are actually clones, which is a very extreme case scenario, but at this point, is anything really extreme? So that might be the case too. I don't know. Like, I think if any arrests were to happen, I don't think it would go public. I think that the whole Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell situation was the only one that went public because they refused to step down, or maybe they got a lot of warnings. But now some people are saying that the whole Jeffrey Epstein island and the whole situation was a complete psyop, which at this point, I don't really know. Like I said, the more I know, the less I know. So I don't know. It could have been a psyop, especially because of how mainstream it was, the Jeffrey Epstein situation. They have a whole Netflix movie on it, so it's a little questionable. There was also a video I saw where these men went on his island and it looked like a Hollywood set, and the buildings didn't even look real. But then other people say that the real building is underground, and I mean, I could believe that because of all the dumbs, deep underground military bases that they have and the tunnels and everything. So I really don't know. But I don't know how they would do it either, like arrest everyone, kill them. There would be no politicians left. I mean, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, I want all of them to go away, obviously, but I don't know. I think it stresses me out more if I think about it. See, feeding the ego, and because I can't control it. See, like, we can't control what happens on the external, and we want to do everything possible, but we're just making ourselves suffer. But I really do hope that they die. Okay, that was really harsh. I really hope that they do get arrested, or at least thrown into a pit of fire or something. I'm just kidding. Hey, Kelsey, so I remember you saying how you weren't really a school person, and I'm the same way. I'm a junior in high school and have no motivation for school anymore. So do you have any tips on how to get through school and if it's really worth it to go to college? I'm glad you ask. So, yeah, I hated school. I absolutely could not do it. Not only was it because I had ADHD and didn't find out until my last year in college, but I mean, at this point, ADHD, I guess, is a man-made disease, or not man-made, but I guess it's not real in the sense of attention deficit disorder or something. I don't know. I just believe there's special powers or special gifts that didn't allow me to pay attention in school. No, but I just kept pushing for myself. I kept putting myself first. In regards to high school, I was just like, you know what? At the end of the day, like, this is for me and only for me. So I'm gonna push and do my best. And then also, I wanted to make my parents proud. So I had like little motivations here and there, but it was mostly for me, because I always struggled with school. And college was really hard too for me, and accomplishing that was probably one of my biggest accomplishments, at least for my ego, definitely for my ego. But it was really just putting myself first. And I mean, at the time, I didn't know any of this information about how school is basically indoctrination, and it only teaches you certain information that they want you to know and not everything. But it's not completely useless, you know? I mean, some of it kind of is. I don't really use algebra in my everyday life. But I just say, just keep pushing through. Finish high school. And honestly, college, I know a lot of people who didn't finish college or went off to do their own thing because they felt more passionate towards something else, and they are thriving now. So I say just either take a gap year before college if you're not completely sure, and explore a lot of different passions and what motivates you, and discover your true essence, essentially. But I really think someone can thrive off just being true to themselves and following what they love to do and not precisely a career path that's going to make you the most money, because whatever you put out, you're going to get back. And if you follow your passion with those high vibrations and you're enjoying what you're doing and being in the present moment with everything you do, you'll make it far. So just do you and follow what you intuitively feel is the best situation right for you. And I'm not going to tell you if it's worth it or not, because my ego will tell you that it is worth it because I spent so much money on it. But I mean, I really did get some valuable things from college, not only the degree, not only the piece of paper that says I graduated with a bachelor's, but also the memories and the experience. It definitely was a good learning experience, an intro to adulthood. And you will meet a lot of people, get a lot of life learning experiences that I thought made my college experience 100% worth it. So it's really up to you, but follow your intuition, and I believe in you. You can do it. Next one. Hi, Kelsey. So I recently came across another light worker on TikTok talking about how alcohol and how when you're blackout drunk, spiritual entities can take over. This is why drunk people tend to do things one wouldn't do when sober. Anyway, for months now, even when in social setting, I don't even want one drink. I have nothing against it. It just doesn't taste good anymore. So I looked further into it and I found something about spiritual awakening. Could those be happening to me? A lot of those times you talk about it, I relate so much. I tried an edible and I felt an out-of-body experience that scared me. Nothing supernatural, just questioning how I was here and didn't feel human. It was the strangest thing ever. Anyway, love you and your podcast. You're awesome. Marlene. Hi, Marlene. I love you too. Thank you so much. So it's funny that you mentioned alcohol, because in Eckhart Tolle's book, he refers to alcohol as being unconscious. So yeah, technically the dark spiritual entities that enter your body could reflect that your ego is fully in control of your body at that point, or your pain body isn't fully in control because you have become completely unconscious. And he also refers to alcohol, drugs, TV, social media, anything that you use to distract your mind from, your ego from, because essentially those things are silencing your ego and becoming unconscious. Those are just a quick fix when in reality we can just come back to our breath and come back to the present moment and not need those external things to silence our mind. You know what I mean? Like, well, in regards to alcohol, I guess I kind of contradicted myself with saying that, but when you're drunk, you don't think anything. Like, you're having a good time. You're, like you said, you black out. So, I mean, if you get to that point, so you silence your mind and everything, but it's just a temporary fix for a much larger problem. And it, sometimes it can feed your pain body even more. So yeah, I do think that you're leaning towards more of your essence being and your spiritual being, because you don't need those things anymore. You don't need those distractions. And that's what I have come to find out about myself too. I don't drink that often. I used to drink so much. You didn't hear that from me. But yeah, I don't drink that often anymore. And I don't even watch TV that often anymore, because I did used to binge watch Netflix shows to get my mind off things. Because you do become unconscious. I mean, okay, I'm still working on the social media part, but TikTok can become very addicting, but it brings you to that state of being unconscious, and it programs your mind that way, which is kind of crazy to think about, because that explains how bad the younger generation has it, because they are all depressed and not allowing their true presence and peace to come forward. And I mean, other factors contribute to it too. I always talk about this to my kids and advise them not to be on their phone all the time, and advise them to do things that they're passionate about, like drawing, reading, hanging out with me. So I'm just kidding. But yeah, definitely a spiritual awakening is happening or brewing up there. And in regards to edibles, I had an edible once. I think we all have one of those stories. I've had an edible once. Yeah, I definitely felt like I was tripping. I definitely felt like I was in a different dimension. So be careful with those. Be careful with anything you try, especially psychedelics and all those. They're just tools, I guess. you could say. I'm not an expert in those things, so don't take my word for it. Just be careful and don't do anything out of peer pressure. Okay, that's my big sister advice. All right, next question. Do you believe we're already on the way to a 5D ascension collective consciousness shift, or it won't happen due to many low vibrating people? So I believe that the shift has been happening for many years now, actually. There have been people since like 2008 that have been talking about this. So, and it's not a one and done kind of thing. It's a journey to get everyone at the same level, to get everyone at the same level. I cannot talk. But even, I'm going to keep referring to him. I'm sorry, guys. This might get annoying. Eckhart Tolle. He says that the next stage in our evolution as human beings is becoming fully conscious and 5D, essentially. He doesn't say 5D, but he says awakening to our consciousness. And those who resist it, or those who are not awakening at this time, are going to struggle a lot more. And that's kind of what I said at the beginning of 2021, or a month before that. I said that people are going to struggle this year and the following 4 years too, because who knows how long this is going to take if they're not open to it, if they keep resisting it. So it's going to be a hard journey for them, but it's definitely the next stage in our evolution, and it is happening, and you can see it more and more each day with everyone preaching about it. I mean, just be careful who you listen to. Question everything, because I'm not even trying to sound like, I don't want to say this because it's going to sound like I know everything and you shouldn't listen to everyone. Okay, don't even listen to me, but just take everything you hear from spiritual teachers or people who claim to be spiritual teachers with a grain of salt, even me, because if they are saying things that make you feel worse, I don't know what you're doing listening to them, but if they are saying things that resonate with your heart and make you feel empowered, then do listen to some of what they have to say. But I feel like a lot of spiritual people nowadays, and me included at one point, had a huge ego and have a huge ego because they make it seem like, oh, I know everything. You're not in 5D. Well, you get to stay down there. Like, oh, look at these 3D people, you know? So I do recognize that I have been there, and it's purely ego. So that's a spiritual ego that I'm now going to be very careful of, because your ego can disguise itself in many, many ways. So just be careful. Listen to your intuition. I'm just going to keep saying that. Listen to your intuition. And I think we're heading in the right direction. And I have a good feeling about what's coming next for everyone. And like Nikki and I said in the last episode, well, Nikki said it, and I'm going to quote her because she said it perfectly. It's like when a woman gives birth. The birthing process is not pretty. It hurts. It's painful. But out of it comes life, a beautiful living being. So I think we're going through the birthing process. Who knows how long it's going to take. But yeah, just do you. Focus on you. And hope that made sense. I don't know. I go on a ramble. You guys know how it is. Hello, Kelsey. I listen to all your podcasts. I've been so open to more things after getting into the truth about life. Though every time I try to prove certain things with evidence, all she says back is that I shouldn't listen to everything I hear on social media. But she watches the news. I'm not sure what else to do to help her stop being so brainwashed. I don't know if I cut off some of this question or who you're referring to, who she is. I'm sorry. I just read what I copied and pasted. Like I've been saying, you can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped or who refuses to even listen to anything you have to say. You can give someone all the evidence in the world, but they will still refuse it, still call you crazy, etc., etc. So as long as you're still emanating those high vibrations and not listening to the news and not doing what everyone else is doing, just following your own path, you will energetically vibrate those vibrations onto her and allow her to, it's kind of like a virus, but energetically You're making people more positive, more willing and open to listen to you. So just keep doing you and don't let it stress you out either. I know it can be hard sometimes, but even my parents in the beginning, they call me crazy, and my brother still does. We all know that. But with my parents, I live with them. So at first, yeah, they call me crazy, but now they want to know more and I've been teaching them a lot more things. So it's really cool. But it takes time, and just be patient and don't let it stress you out, because I know it can be stressful, but it has nothing to do with you. You can't convince someone who doesn't want to be convinced. So sending you all the love, because I know how stressful that can be. What advice can you give your viewers to help with ascension process to 5D consciousness? Be in the present moment. I am so moved by everything I've learned from Eckhart Tolle that it really just comes down to being in the present moment and being aware of your essence and your being and looking at a tree and knowing that you and that tree are energetically the same. You're the same essence, the same being, and just feeling that love between every being, everything, every mountain, cloud, sun, enjoying every present moment as it is, that will help you expand your consciousness. And it's not even about getting to 5D consciousness anymore. I mean, it is essentially, but I mean, that's just a label. That's just a word. If we really come down to it, it's really just consciousness. I feel like if we were to label it 5D, 3D, and all that, it does sound very egoic now that I'm looking at it. And I do sound like I was very, very ran by my ego when I've been talking about that. But just focus on your presence and your being and not worrying about the future or not reminiscing about the past or defining yourself by your past. Who you are is who you are right now in this very moment, not who you were yesterday, not what you did last year. It's who you are now and what you choose to do in the next now moment. So just work on yourself, focus on your energy, and live in the present moment. I hope that helps. Hi, Kels. Just want to say love the podcast. And I also want to say that you have done so much to help me open my eyes to a lot of what's going on in this world. So for that, I thank you and will always support you. Anyway, I basically wanted to ask, in your personal opinion, or even from any opinions you have heard from others, do you think the Hollywood elites and all the dark things, from the cloning to the MKUltra mind control to the satanic ritual, will ever be revealed to the public? Do you believe we will ever get to know the real truth about everything that goes on behind the scenes? Sometimes I have my own personal theories about certain things, and I'm always looking for some evidence to confirm my suspicions. Anyways, I would love to hear what you think or heard on this topic. Keep up the good work and stay vibrating high. Aw, that was really sweet. Thank you. This kind of goes back to the same question about the politicians and the pedos in politics and all that, the CEOs. I think if it were to come out, it's not going to be all at once, or maybe not at all, because if we really come down to it, I mean, more people are waking up and more people are becoming conscious or reaching that consciousness state, but there are a majority of people who are still asleep and are still unconscious. So if we were to hit them with this, yeah, I don't know what would happen, to be honest. Like, if you really think about it, all these unconscious people living from their ego, their false sense of self, which get offended, which react and all that. Yeah, that would be chaotic. So I think there will be a smarter way to go about this eventually. I think it's going to take a lot of people to wake up for the truth to finally be revealed to everyone. But at that point, I feel like everyone will already know. But honestly, like I said, who knows? I really don't know. The more I know, the less I know, so. But I say just don't worry about it, because I feel like we are all spending all our time being angry and projecting that anger about how these pedos are not being revealed and all that that we are giving our power away, like I said. And it's not that I'm saying that it's okay what they're doing, and not at all. If you know me, if you've been with me since day one, you know I've been raged since day one. But I've learned to accept what is. And if this is the situation we're going through right now, I'm accepting it for what it is. And I know that there's a higher order in place, which means that at the end of the day, the dark will be transmuted to light, no matter what happens or how it happens. But I cannot fuel that negativity with more of my stress or anger of these pedos not being put in jail yet, if that makes sense. So I say just focus on your own energy and focus on vibrating high yourself, and that will emanate into the collective, waking more people up and rolling the ball, or is that how they say it? Rolling the ball? Making this progress go faster? I don't know English all of a sudden. But anyways, yeah, I hope so. I know so. Yeah, it will happen one day, hopefully. Hi, Kelsey. Look forward to listening to your podcast every week. Since quarantine started, I couldn't help but feel strange about where society is headed. I feel like it won't be much longer until people wake up, but once that happens, what could we even do? Part of me even wonders, what if it's been planned for us to wake up? So, like I mentioned earlier, essentially it is kind of planned for us to wake up because it's the next step in our evolution. And I highly believe that. I'm not attached to that belief, but I do believe that that might be the next stage in our evolution as human beings. And once that happens, a lot of things come from it. It may not seem like it, but like I've been saying, everything is energy. And when we reach that state of awareness and we emanate that vibration, it will ripple into the collective, ripple into the energy field of the world and change our timeline, essentially, because as a collective, as one consciousness, we all have a job to wake up and raise our vibrations to change the timeline of humanity. So no pressure, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think everything will be okay. I think we're worrying too much and not living in the present moment, and that's just making you suffer more. So I know it's good to prepare for the future, but it's not good to worry and make yourself dig yourself up in a negative hole or stress and all that, because I've been there, trust me. So just, I know it's easier said than done, but try not to worry, and I think everything will be okay. All right, next one. So I've been debating for weeks if I was going to talk about this. Internally, I kept getting a push to share this with you. About 14 years ago, I was in high school, and I remember one night I had this dream. I was driving what to me looked like Arizona with my brother. We lived in DC at the time, in Arizona as kids, so it was kind of random. But we're driving through the desert, and I looked up at the sun. It was so big and bright, and I watched it explode right in front of my eyes. I know you have a podcast about the moon, and that's why triggered this memory. I remember freaking out, and the next thing you know, Earth has been invaded by aliens, but they wanted to help. They didn't talk, but they could communicate to us telepathically. The feeling and the whole experience felt so real. I woke up suddenly and I was crying and bawling, and all I could hear was, "It's the end of the world as we know it," playing repeat in my head, and it was getting louder. I was so freaked out, I'm not gonna lie. I went to my parents' room and slept in their bed for the rest of the night. I never knew what to make of it, but I have my own thoughts and feelings behind it. I just got a strong sign to share this with you after talking myself out of it. This thought has literally been living rent-free in my head for weeks. I love your podcast so much. I live for it when you post. I would love to hear your thoughts and your interpretations on this. Wow. Well, again, I love when you guys share stories like this or convince yourself to share stories like this with me. That is amazing. And yeah, I feel so honored for that. Thank you. That is a crazy dream. And I have had similar alien dreams, to be honest. I mean, I think I see this as a positive because I've been hearing a lot of similar stories like this or similar dreams that other people have had who have said that these good aliens have come down to help us. And I mean, the sun exploding can mean a lot of things. It could mean an awakening of consciousness, because I just read a passage referring back to his book. He says, "The end of the world is not what we think it is. It's the end of identifying ourselves with our ego, identifying ourselves with the physical. So that's going to be the end of the world, because by that point, we're going to be fully conscious and living from a place of being rather than a place of our ego. So I don't think that the end of the world is precisely going to be like a big boom and we're done. I mean, even if that does happen, remember, like I said, death is an illusion, meaning that our physical bodies die, but we cannot die. Our energies live on. And watch Surviving Death on Netflix. It will calm your nerves because it made me cry. They talk about near-death experiences. They talk about what happens after you die, reincarnation, all that. So I don't think it's anything to fear if the world does end. Like, well, I'll just be out of our physical bodies, out of these avatars and into the beyond or the other realm, but there's nothing to fear, essentially. And I know that kind of sounds crazy now thinking about it. Like, if anyone new is listening and they're like, wow, this girl isn't afraid of death, what is wrong with her? But I, like I said, the sun exploding can mean a lot of good things because it is the sun, it is light, and it is exploding. And the fact that you said the aliens were good and they came down to help us, so maybe those aliens will come down and wake people up, and that will be the sun exploding, and then that will be the world ending as we know it. Because as we know it right now, it's physical. Well, I mean, okay, metaphorically, everything is physical. It's ego, it's identifying with self, identifying with our avatars, essentially. But when we ascend consciousness or change or go on to the next state of consciousness, change our state of consciousness, that is when we will stop identifying with the external. Not that the physical will disappear, we will still live in a physical world, but we will be living from a more meaningful, peaceful state. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. But yeah, I don't see this dream as a bad thing. And it might be Project Bluebeam that wakes people up and it backfires on the elite, because like COVID, it woke a lot of people up. So who knows? Maybe it's a good thing. And like I keep saying throughout this whole episode, don't worry about the future. Just focus on the present moment and the now. Come back to your breath. Everything will be okay. And there was one more thing I wanted to add, but my brain, I've been spacing out so hard lately. I don't know why. I'm pretty sure it's the Mercury retrograde or Schumann resonance, because the energy has been crazy. Oh man, I forgot what I was gonna say. I just hope that you're doing better now and you're not freaking out and everything will be okay. There's a higher purpose and a higher divine order for everything. Even if it seems like the most chaotic thing in the world or a destructive thing, there's a higher order behind it. And our minds cannot comprehend that, but our beings, our essence does. That's why we gotta come back to our essence and our presence. And I hope this all made sense, because I don't know if I made sense. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I missed solo episodes, and I will see you again on Friday. Well, not literally, but you will hear my voice again on Friday. I will have another friend from Twitter on, and he's gonna help me talk about food and how food benefits us in our immune system, in our minds, in our mindsets, and more about the ego. So I'm excited for that. If you have any questions, let me know. If it's an emergency, Twitter, you can DM me on Twitter. You know I got you guys on there. But if it's just a question you want to be featured on the next episode, go to @WokeWithKels and link in bio questions tab. I probably won't make another solo episode for a couple weeks, because after I have my friend Jacob on from Twitter, I am actually gonna have this girl from TikTok. She talks about aliens. She's gonna be on my podcast. Some of you probably know her. So I will be having Sanella.Estrella on my podcast. You can look her up on TikTok. She talks a lot about aliens. She has read the files that the government has disclosed. So we'll be talking about that. And I think that's going to be in 2 weeks. So I don't know when I'll have another solo episode. If I have time, I'll make another bonus probably next week or 2 weeks. I don't really know what time is. Time is an illusion. So anyways, thank you so much for listening. And thank you to those who have purchased my new merch. I love seeing you guys share it on social and tagging me in it. If you want to purchase, the link is also in my bios at Woke with Kels. All right, guys, I love you all so, so much. I'm sending you all a big hug. And I hope you guys stay in the present moment. Practice meditation. Everything will be okay. Love you. See you later. Bye.